Women's Shir and Chavis Halvava Shar HaBitachon, Wednesday afternoon, Hey Adar Aleph Tavshinayin Dalet Shar HaBitachon. So we're learning Chavis Halvava Shar HaBitachon, we're in Perek Dalet, and we're on the third thing on the list of the Chavis Halvava's areas in life, and how Bitachon is applied to them. And the third thing is relationships. Abel Peres and Yoni Achela Kashlishi, number three on the list, him and Yoni Yishto, Bonobo, Bnei Beso, Krova, Vyova, Vaiva, Vumyodov, Makirov, Vashalamalami Menu, Vashalamatami Menu, Mikithos, Bnei Yodam, all the different relationships people have, children, spouses, family members, friends, enemies, acquaintances, people who are above him in a pecking order, in a hierarchy, in whatever hierarchy he's in, people that are below him or her, in the hierarchy. How do you exhibit bitachon? What does it mean to have bitachon? Ofane yosher habitachon al ho'elokim bohem. And this is very interesting, by the way, Sunday. It's number three on the list. Number one is money of basic needs. Number two was money because I want to have more than my basic needs. And number three is our relationships with people, our interpersonal relationships. So how do you exhibit bitachon? How do you have bitachon? Kasher asaper, I will now explain. Vahu. So his first step is to make two categories. Shein adam nimlat me'echod mishnei dvarim. In the circumstances of life, a person is in one of two categories. Obviously, it could be something in the middle. He's taking the two extremes. And most people obviously have elements of both. One is sheyiyeh nochri, meaning he's alone. And the question is he going to be lonely or not? Alone and lonely are two different things. Yeah. So he's alone. Some people, maybe they are living in Eretz Yisrael, they're not near their family. Some people don't have family that they're close with anyway. You can live in New York, your family's in California. You don't have family, you don't really have friends. A loner. Some people, beteva, are loners, or they find themselves being loners, and they feel they're alone, you know. And they feel lonely. Not only are they alone, but they feel lonely. He's going to tell us how to cope with that because of bitachon. Just like bitachon in Perek Aleph is described as its major... besides it's a mitzvah, and besides it's reality, as I always say, and besides of its frumkeit angle, it's also keeps away stress and calms you down. And you don't get depressed or anxious or nervous or resentful or upset. It's like a great thing. It's better than Advil even. Better than marijuana even. Medical bitachon. We're going to stop medical bitachon. So, oh, sheyiyeh b'toch mishpachto ukrovav. Oh, you have these people, you see them, they're always surrounded by an entourage of people. Or they have families, or grandchildren, or children, or... They're always friends, social butterflies. So now he's going to tackle the first one first, and also we all have moments, or maybe weeks, or days, or moments when we feel alone, when we feel lonely, even if sometimes you're in a simcha, and there's a lot of people around chattering and saying hello, and you have this smile pasted on your face, but you feel alone. Well, there are people, definitely, that feel alone in the crowds, because they don't really have... Maybe they don't have a good friend and they feel that loss. Or maybe they're thinking to themselves, you know, if I wouldn't be here, no one would really care. No one would even notice, which is worse. You come back after 3 weeks in America, you say, hello, I'm back. And they go, oh, you were away? So let's say you're alone. So he makes a few points. At the end of learning the points he makes, because he really gives you coping skills, and then we're going to come back, I hope I remember to, and say, what does it have to do with bitachon? You know, this is wonderful, and a therapist would be thrilled to have these tools and suggestions, but we're talking about bitachon. Yeah, so number one is his first point. He makes a few points, and like in Milim Sfurot, very few words. His first point is, you're not alone. You know, a Jew is not alone. You're not really alone. So you shouldn't feel lonely because you're really not alone. Because Hashem is there with you. Hashem's your best friend. You can talk to him. You could talk out your heart. You can complain. You could emote. Hashem is there. He's your friend. Yitzavuso, that means his friendship, is Belokov, is with Hashem. So number one is, you're not really alone. Be'eish ishto mamuso, when you're feeling desolate, and you're feeling, maybe you're feeling sorry for yourself, and you're feeling lonely, and nobody cares about me, and no one, if I wouldn't, you know. It's a problem. It's a problem in the shul. We face this problem, we're pretty good, the shul. Pretty good. But it's big enough that if a person is not there for a few weeks, it's not noticed that he's not there. And then I have to deal with, I wasn't there for a few weeks and no one even noticed I wasn't there. And what's worse, when I said I'm back, they said, oh, you were away? Right? That's worse. And it's Baruch Hashem, but it's a problem, and we're always working on it and trying to appoint people, divide the shul into quadrants, and someone should be in charge of each quadrant, and notice who's not there. Different ideas. Of course, no one ever wants to do anything; they just want to complain. So that's also a problem. Yitzavuso belokov, your friends with Hashem, be'esishto mamuso, when you're desolate. You have a friend. You're not alone. You're not lonely because you're not really alone. The yiftach olav begeruso, and you are, whatever you need a friend for, you can rely on Hashem for that. Whether it's someone who cares about you, who understands you, who knows what you're going through, who will, you're comforted because there's someone that cares about you. You have all of that in Hashem. So the yiftach olav begeruso. Okay, that's number one. Begeruso means a ger, as you're alone. You're alone. Number two is everybody's really alone. V'yale alib in two ways. He says v'yale alibo gerus hanefesh b'olam hazeh. The essence of a person is not your body. It's not your gashmius. It's not your looks. It's not your physical body. Your nefesh. There's no one lonelier than your nefesh. Your nefesh is in this strange land with strange customs, people doing crazy things that, you know, he's looking at it. It's like moving to Israel. And all of a sudden, you don't know the language and people are talking and you're not, you know, you don't know what they're talking about. You don't know where they're coming from, you know, and you can't even find out the weather because the guy on the radio is talking Hebrew. And when I first came here, it was like a moment, an oasis between 7 and 7.05 in the morning. They had like the news in English. It's like, now I just say, what do I care what the weather is? Whatever it is, it is. Looking outside is worth more than the weatherman anyway. Anyway, the nefesh is also lonely, so everybody's lonely. Because everybody, the nefesh is lonely. The nefesh feels, you know, I'm not joking, when you first move anywhere, really, the nefesh is lonely. The nefesh moved to Olam Hazeh, so realize that everybody's essence is loneliness, or aloneness, I should say. Everybody's alone. You feel alone, and you're looking around, and that person has friends, and the social life, and this. It really has nothing to do with the inner you, which is with the essence of the person. The person's nefesh doesn't care about all the friends and doesn't care. It does care. You know why it cares about the friends? And that's, Chavilot is going to explain all of this. The nefesh cares about the friends because it wants to be besimcha. Because it's important for the nefesh to be sameach. That's already the inner you. And if you're sad or depressed or chas v'shalom or you use your relationships to lead a more fulfilling life, so that's a good point. But now he's going to say that there's no reason why you can't lead as the most fulfilling life in a different way based on the circumstances you're in. But I'm jumping ahead to a different point. Point number two is everybody's alone in some way, in the way that matters, their essence, who they are. You are who you are, and you're alone. Maybe a spouse is different because it's one nefesh, but essentially you're alone. So that's number two. And you're not alone in being alone. V'chiyanshe oretz k'mo geirim ba. And everybody is really a ger in a strange place. K'mo shomer ha-kosev, an amazing interpretation of a pasuk, which you would never think the pasuk means that. Ki geirim v'so shavim atem imodi. The pasuk in Vayikra, the pasuk is really talking about owning a piece of land, you know, and you're not, and giving it back, and yovel, and you know, you don't really own anything in this world. That's the simple meaning of the pasuk. But the Chavis Halvavus is saying that you're ger. You're not citizens, you're not kavua here, you're not in your place, you're not where you're supposed to be. You feel strange.
But
does he imagine? Yeah. Vis-a-vis Hashem. The nefesh is a nefesh aloki, the Chavis Halvavus is learning, and it's lonely in this world. Point three. At the end of the day, everybody's alone in a much more obvious sense, and that's when they, when at the end of life, you don't go into the kever with your friends, you don't go into the kever with your buddies, with your relatives, you're alone, because that's it, because there's nothing there but the nefesh. So again, it's another way of thinking. First of all, you're not alone; you're with Hashem. And you can work on your bitachon and rely on Hashem for anything you get out of a friendship, out of a relationship. That's number one. Number two is everybody's alone because the nefesh is out of sorts. It's not in its right place. Number three is really another manifestation of number two, and that is at the end of the day, everybody's alone in a very real sense. It's what you made of yourself. It's how you lived your life. It's what you accomplished, how you... All these people you're jealous of, and you know, everybody you're looking around, and they have all sorts of relationships. Adzaman muat, not going to be that long. Yoshev nochri bodeit v'lo yohilehu koro v'lo ben v'lo yischaber imo echad mehem. You know, everybody's alone at that point. You know, at the end. So that's 3 points. What you're relying on Hashem for, the reason it has to do with bitachon, is that you're not missing anything. So you say, but Rabbi, I am missing. I'm missing friends. Doesn't matter what you say, but I don't have friends. I'm lonely. So saying, rely on Hashem. If you want to have, let's say a person has money. So a person has money, and, because he likes money. So then I can't console that person if he doesn't have money. If the purpose of having money is to have money, not for any ultimate purpose, ultimate goal, but if I want to have money because I like having money, it's enjoyable, it's pleasurable, then I can't do anything for that person when he doesn't have money. He's shattered. His life is in shambles. He can't have what's so meaningful and important to him. But if we get a person to say, why do you want money? And this is the way you have to think. I want money because I can accomplish things with money. I can do things. I can serve Hashem. So you say, well, okay, now you don't have money, you'll reach the goal a different way. Hashem obviously wants you to reach the goal a different way. You can't decide how your life is going to be. Friends, relationships are wonderful. The Chavis is not denying that reality. They were also dangerous because it keeps you busy, it distracts you from a main purpose in life many times. You have to worry if you have good friends or not good friends. But the friends is a stepping stone. And what the Chavis HaLovis wants is to have bitachon, to rely on Hashem, that your situation is, what is relying on Hashem? I'm relying on Hashem when I'm poor. I'm relying on Hashem that this is good for me, and this is the way it's supposed to be, and this is the gzar din of my life, and I'm supposed to, and this is the best possible thing, all the seven things in Perek Beis, and this is the best possible thing that could have happened for my neshama. This is what my neshama's task is in this world, to serve Hashem from poverty. Maybe it's being mekabel l'pesimcha. Maybe it's all the different things that are the avoda of a person who doesn't have money, as we call it. In fact, the Chavis HaLovis says that the person in the Hakdama to Shar HaBitachon, and he's going to say the same thing here about being alone. A person without money should thank Hashem, because having money is a tremendous responsibility. Again, the point is, if you want things for their own temporal, mundane, secular sake, then I have nothing to say to you if you don't have that. But if you want it for a purpose, for a goal, you understand that everything in life is a tool for a purpose. Let's call the purpose getting close to Hashem. If that sounds too firm for you, so you say it's a goal to accomplish things in life, then I say, listen, you have to have bitachon. You have to rely on Hashem that He's giving you the tools for life that are tailor-made for your life, and this is your tools. So we're turning. He could just say that, but the Chavis HaLovis, it's like telling a poor person, first of all, you're not as poor as you think. You're alive. You're alive to tell the tale. So you're getting everything you need. Well, so you're not really poor. Number two, I would say, I'm following along his reasoning. Number two is everybody's poor because no one has everything they want. Because the more you have, the more toys you want. Yesh Lomona wrote some aside. So you're looking at the rich people as being happy and having things, etc. But actually, whoever knows that rich people are, but they're a klal, not as happy as people who have less, but they're a klal. There's a lot of pressures on them to keep performing and to keep earning more and to move up. So it's difficult. Number three is, at the end of the day, we're all poor, right? So these are the same. So what should you do? We're in Shar HaBitachon. I'm relying on Hashem that my life is from Him. It's the way it's supposed to be. It's the best possible way for me. Hashem cares about me and will send me everything I need to accomplish in my life, and so on and so forth. So that's this line of reasoning here. First, He helps you cope. First of all, you're not alone. Second of all, everybody, the nefesh is always alone, and that's the essence of a person. Third of all, at the end of the day, everybody's alone, right? And what do they have to show for all their friends and friendships and everything? They have nothing to show for it. Elamai, they have to show for it because they were able to accomplish things in life, because you have friends, you say, okay, I learned this from this friend, and I learned this midah from another friend, and I felt fulfilled, because a person has a need for friends. Chavis is not denying that. He's telling you what to do if you don't have friends, if you're alone. So you rely on Hashem that He's giving you whatever tools you need to accomplish in your life. And how do you think? This is what this parak's about. So the Baal Bitachon says, first of all, I'm not alone. I'm not as alone as I think. And second of all, I'm relying on Hashem that my life is the way that it's supposed to be, and I have all the tools I need to accomplish with my life. At the end of the day, we have to go to Hashem and say, mission accomplished. That's it. I mean, we could all go home now. I just told you the secret of life. Right? At the end of the day, we go to Hashem and we say, mission accomplished. The nefesh has to, you want to be able to say mission accomplished, maybe. Maybe no one is mission accomplished 100%, but basically mission accomplished. So
That's bitachon. I rely on Hashem that He's giving me the tools I need that I can say mission accomplished. And although very obviously relationships is a major part of life, He put it third on the list to talk about. But we think that the glicklicha person, the lucky person, is the person who's friends and sociable and social and chulu. Just like we think the person with money is the lucky person. He's saying, so that's what he says. First of all, if you're alone, you should realize it's, you're okay. You're okay. You might even be better off, as he will now say. We're about to learn it. In certain ways, and maybe in the ways that count more, just like he says, it's a bigger nisoyon to be rich than to be poor, because you have a greater responsibility, and you're more apt to think kochi v'otzim yodi, and you're more to think that you don't really need Hashem, because you're earning, and it's coming in, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem is like, you're told that you pay. So you say Baruch Hashem, but you don't really mean it. You don't really mean the whole picture of what it's supposed to mean. It's supposed to mean that I recognize it's all from Hashem and it's not coming from me, and this is what Hashem was gozer on me, and the money is not really mine, it's just a pikadon, and I have to use it wisely and I have a responsibility to use it wisely. All that is what Baruch Hashem is supposed to mean. And it's not a password to... So, A, you're not alone. Hashem is your best friend. B, think about that the nefesh is always alone, and that's the essence of a person. C, realize that at the end of the day, everybody's alone, and nothing helps. When they have to go back to Hashem and report if mission accomplished or not, all their chevruti, the social life is not going to help them.
Rabbi,
yeah.
Who can possibly say my individual mission was accomplished? How do you know what your mission is?
No, when you're standing... When you're standing in front of Hashem, and
I know, but
you're supposed to be able to say that. Then Hashem says, okay, let's examine the books. And then your heart would sink, except you don't have a heart. No, not here. I didn't say here. That's a good question. The answer is that because there's no more Nevi'im, and we have that nisayon that we can't. They used to go to a local navi. They probably go to Chaim Kanievsky if you want, but they used to go to a local navi and say, "What's my mission in life?" So now our mission in life is to keep Torah and mitzvahs, help other people, be there for other people. You know, and if something comes up, if you don't know what you're supposed to be doing in that situation, so you ask a shayla. You ask a rab, or you ask a friend, or you ask a mentor. What does Hashem want from me in this situation? We don't have a clarity in our overall mission in life. It's true. When I say you go to Hashem and you say mission accomplished, I'm not saying that I made a yeshiva for mitzuyonim or a yeshiva for autistic children. That's not mission accomplished. Mission accomplished is, did you fulfill the potential that I gave you when I sent you down to Olam Hazeh? And we have to look at the Eibishter and we have to say, yeah, I fulfilled my potential, which is a very scary thought, because we sort of instinctively know that maybe we're not. But that's why we're learning Chavis Halvavos, to inspire us to do the best we can. My point is that what are friends? What are relationships? If we look at it like you look at money, then it's just gishmak to have. I can buy something I want, then I can't console you if you don't have money. So if you look at relationships that, it's gishmak, it's pleasurable, then I can't console you if you're alone. But if you look at friendships as tools to accomplish whatever it is you're supposed to, and just like money is like a very, very good tool. It's a big nisayon, but it's a great tool. I can do achnos sorchem. I can give tzedakah. I could support Torah. I don't have the all of parnosa on my head. I'm not worried about where the rent checks or the mortgage check is going to come from. So I have a menuchas nefesh. But it's a big nisayon. But if you don't have money, you say, listen, the money wasn't the point. The money was the avenue to menuchas nefesh, and to having what you want, and to being calm, and to not worry. So you can do all that without money also. And you don't even have the responsibility because maybe you're not giving enough tzedakah, and maybe you're not doing enough chesed, and maybe you should be more generous with your time or with your money, etc. Maybe you should be supporting Torah more. Because the Chavim Lubavitcher said all this in his Hakdama to the Shaar. So here also, you're saying these thoughts, and v'yachshov achar kein, and then you say, you know something? People who always have people around them, they waste, you know, it's like saying money is wonderful, but it's a big nisaya. Relationships are wonderful. It really does give a person a certain shlemus. You have different kinds of friends and you, but it's a big nisaya because you end up wasting a lot of time. Okay, you end up being distracted with things that are not about the Hashem. V'yachshav achakem behistalkus kovid masom the chovasom me'olav. He says, if you're not burdened with all these people around you, v'yachshav zetova mitovas habori olav, you have to thank Hashem. Every matzav you're in, every matzav you're in, you thank Hashem. It's not a psychological trick. It's reality. Hashem is only a mativ. So you have to, you rely on Hashem that He's doing what's best for you. That's bitachon. You're relying on Him. So you say, okay, the Chavis HaBavos now gets down to brass tacks. He says, you know, there are people that have to go to weddings every night. They have so many friends. Okay, again, I'm looking from a man's perspective. Why women are also wonderful people? Yeah, but from a woman's perspective, it's easier for a woman to say, this is chesed. I'm making the Baal Simcha feel good, right? I would be talking to men, so I would say, listen, you don't have to go to every chesed you're invited to. You don't have to go. You don't have to go, but just like he says with money, that you're relieved of a responsibility, the Chavis HaLevavos wants us to take things seriously. And if we have things that seem pleasurable, you have to realize they're just tools. Tools to use to reach my potential to do Avodas Hashem. So in a way, I am less burdened. I'm less burdened if I don't have a lot of friends and I don't have to spend time with them and I don't have to go to simchas. So you go to a simcha. So how did Avigdor Miller Zatzal go to a simcha? First of all, he didn't go. Second of all, I learned this lesson in my year of Avelus. They actually got married without me. Amazing. It was a tremendous limud. It was like an eye-opener. People got married even though I wasn't there. And nobody complained. Nobody said, I don't know how we did it, Rabbi. You weren't there. How did we get married? Sometimes they asked me, well, why are you? And I reminded them I was Bavelis. Okay. So that only worked for 2 years. At different points, well, my father was Nifter, my mother was Nifter. But it taught me a lesson that, you know, so you're not there. So Rabbi Avigdor Miller, when he had to go, when he felt he should go, I don't know when, it was either a grandson or a son or maybe a niece or maybe someone in the shul. Maybe. So he's famous for this. He stood there and he wouldn't check in his coat. He stood there with his coat draped around his arm. He stayed for a couple of minutes, and then he left. How long, why do you have to be there? Why do you have to be there the whole time for? It's like such a waste. Again, not that women are less choshev than men. Adarabba, women are more choshev than men. But a man has that burden of time that a woman doesn't have. I have to tell you. Because a man is charged with learning Torah, and bittul zman is heavier. A woman is not charged with learning Torah. You really... And therefore, you know, is your life easier than men? Not easier, it's much harder in certain ways. But there is a pressure a man's supposed to have. And if he doesn't feel that pressure, that gufa becomes a problem, that he doesn't feel that pressure. So a lot of things I'm saying, I guess, is from a man's perspective. You have to excuse me, I'm a man. And so when I talk about going to for a woman, she's freer to think that it's a chesed, the Baal Simcha is going to be if I'm there. So yeah, you know, so it's different. What? Yeah.
Yeah. So you make a wedding for your daughter, and if all the the men leave after 5 minutes and you're there alone, how would you feel?
I would feel great that it's going to end much earlier than I thought. I didn't understand. I was by my grandson's bar mitzvah on Shabbos, and then he made a party Monday night. I didn't understand why I had to be there. I already celebrated the bar mitzvah. Parents are expected to go nowadays to every Sheva Brachas. When I grew up, it wasn't the case. I remember when it became that way. I remember the sociology that it became that you have to, that parents are expected to go to every Sheva Brachas. Okay, what's the point? The point is, Sir Rabbi Avigdor Miller Zatzal held his coat and he left. Like he didn't want to, you know, he left as soon as he was able to. You could spread the word, I'll be fine. I don't know about the Chutanim though. I can't speak for them, but I'll be thrilled. At the end of the day, what do? You say Mazel Tov. At the end of the day, you say Mazel Tov. And then, what else is there? Oh, no. Chosen Kala, you have to be Musameach. Chosen Kala, she asked about me. She didn't have, the Chosen Kala, you have a chiyuv to be Musameach them, and they're happy when people are there, and dancing, and it means to them, and they're, Musameach them, that's a chiyuv. Again, from the perspective of a man, there's something called Efshar Lasos Adidei Acherim. There are guidelines. Okay, anyway, the point is that a person who has no, who's alone, should thank Hashem. And this is where Bitachon kicks in. We're learning Shara Bitachon. Someone that's alone thanks Hashem that they have more time for what's really important in life. And I want to add, though, a word of explanation. This doesn't mean a person who's, well, he's going to explain that later, a person who's not alone, who has a lot of friends and a lot of obligations, because he has family and grandchildren, shouldn't wish he was alone, chas v'shalom. That's terrible. That's like the alone person wishing he had a lot of friends. You take each situation, and the Chavis HaLovis is going to say, what are we learning now, the Chavis HaLovis, in this parak? How should a Baal Bitachon think in situation A, B, C, D? And he has the whole gamut of different situations, and we're implementing what we learned in the first, second, and third perek, actually in the Hagdamah also. This is the implementation, the Lamaisa. So he's teaching us, this is what a person, and there are people who are alone, you know, there are people who are alone, for whatever reason. And so, a different person's obligation is really to be their friend. Because being friend, it's like, again, it's like money is the best marshal. You know, it's a need a person has, and if you know someone alone, it's the biggest mitzvah in the world to be their friend. But we're talking to the person. He's talking to the person who's alone. And what do I think? I think that Hashem is only a meitiv. This is all bitachon. Hashem is doing this for my good. And if this is the situation that exists, I'm going to use it. I'm going to use it, first of all, to strengthen my friendship with Hashem. That's like amazing. That's an amazing thing to do. And I can talk to Hashem, and no one's going to think I'm crazy because I'm alone. And you, if you do it, you will find yourself feeling closer to Hashem. Because you'll talk to him, the davening will be different. You'll talk, you'll daven even when you're not davening. And he's saying now, recognize, do Shar HaBechina with it. Recognize the Tova that exists. Hashem is always a Meitiv. This is part of Bitachon. So you're gonna think to yourself how you're not burdened, you don't have to go to, you don't have to Simchas and Shalom, again, women don't have Shalom Zachas and Chasanas and Sheva Brachas. I made a decision 8 years ago that I'm not going to attend a bar mitzvah celebration, both on Shabbos, when it's being celebrated in the shul, and during the week, when they make the bar mitzvah celebration downstairs. Why did I go to both by my grandson? I had to, believe me. I had to. But Baruch Hashem, I mean, I like sort of I announced it, but I don't have to go to both. I don't have to go to a chas, to the chasana and the sheva brachas. Like, just because you choose to celebrate twice, why does that obligate me to go to two celebrations? It's only one bar mitzvah. Why do I have to go to two celebrations for? So, Rav Shem, the shul is very good about it, and I didn't get any complaints. Sometimes I got a few kvetches, but no real complaints. No. This is a serious matter, because I know where most people come from in America, the Rav is expected to be part of their social life. And the Rav is supposed to, like, be there, and that's part of the job description. And, I said, I don't celebrate twice. I'll celebrate once. When I miss Shabbos, which happens once in a blue moon, as they say, once in a while, I taka make sure to go to the weekday celebration. But my point is, you don't have to, this is his point, you don't have to, you don't have that burden. Relationships are also a burden. They're a tremendous mila because it makes you it's like money, it makes you a more fulfilled person. You learn things. You know, if you really have serious relationships, you could probably, you know what you're getting from each relationship. But again, he's talking to the person that's alone and saying you don't have the burden. You don't have COVID masom the chovosa mutzrachayim me'olam v'yachshav zetova mitovas habori olam. This is why it's an implementation of Shar HaBitachon. You're relying on Hashem that this is what's good for you and this is what you need to perfect your neshama. And you're saying, look, I don't have the burden, so much time is wasted or spent with other people, and whether it's chatting or going to simchas or tying yourself to their schedule and they're tying yourself to your schedule. And he says, even if you look at it from a purely very mundane perspective, you know, if you like Olam Hazeh, so you don't need so much money when you're alone. So let's face it, you know, you need a lot of money to support a wife and children, and then you have to support the in-laws, the sons-in-law, daughters-in-law. Tia Yigiyosu Yosu Kawalav, he has an easier life in Olam Hazeh. He doesn't need that much money. Mebli Yishu Bonim, if a person, no one's saying you should daven to be that. In that situation. But when you're in that situation, you should realize that it has tovos involved. The chesronam menuchalo v'tova. The house is not, you're quiet, you can think, you have time to think, you have quiet, you have peace, you have quiet, you can contemplate things. That's just from a purely physical perspective. So what does a person think? I want it to be noisy. I want to have... So that's what he's saying. He's saying that's where Bitachon comes in. I'm relying on Hashem that he's doing what's best for me. So he's saying, I don't see how this is any good. I don't see any good in this. Which we all sometimes face when not such good things happen and we don't see the good. Then we have to shift over to Emunah mode. And say, I believe that this is what's best for me. But I don't really see how. And that's something people face. But Chagat Lovas is saying it's not that hard here. You don't need pure emuna to say what's good about this. I'm going to tell you what's good about this. It's easier to earn a living. It's easier to pay the rent. It's easier to find a place to live. V'miyam avakesh inyanu achruso, and if you're olam haba-minded, and now he segues a little as he is wont to do, and he talks about his bodidus and the qualities of his bodidus, where you go off and you are just, it's you and Hashem. So if you have people always around you, so you have to go to the Jerusalem forest and you have to sit there and you have to find his bodidus that way. And if you're on a high madrega, if you remember at the end of Shara Vodas Elokim, he talked about practicing his bodidus when you're surrounded by people. And you're like in your own world, and you're thinking of Hashem, and you're holding Hashem's hand, and he's holding your hand, and people all around you are chattering and chattering and chattering. And you can do his bodidus that way. It's very, very difficult. But here he says, you're able to be misbodied with Hashem. And that's a wonderful quality. And you thank Hashem that you're able to do it whenever you want. You don't have the burdens of a social life. And again, this is the extreme, and this is how you have to think of it. Al kein, therefore, hayu aprushim. He's not recommending what he's about to say. If you wouldn't be able to handle it if he would be recommending what he's about to say. But he's saying there were prushim, there were people who are borchim mikrovehim umibateim elaharim. They ran away to the Jerusalem forest, they ran away to the mountains. Every once in a while they had a seder to just run away from it all. Kideshi yifnu libosom lavodos elokim. And he said, that's a Nevi'im, was Zochet to Nevu'ah, v'chein hoyu a Nevi'im, b'zman ha-Nevu'ah, yotzim mim'ono seyhem, from their homes, u'mizvoded them, l'chovas ha-borei aleyhem, they would commune with Hashem. K'mo sh'yadata b'nyin Eliyahu m'Elisha, when Eliyahu was giving over the reins of Nevu'ah to Elisha, or not giving over the reins, at that point, he was just making him into a Talmud, sh'nemar olav, sh'neimus ar'tzmodim l'fonov, he had animals, he was plowing in the fields, he had 12 of pairs of oxen with yokes, fubish name ha'osar, busy. The chivish haramas lo Eliyahu b'ma'at remez, that he should come with him and drop all this nonsense and become his Talmud and be a Novi. Haven also, be Omar, he said, Eshkar no lo'ovi le'imi, I'm just gonna disappear, I'm gonna go and I'll kiss my parents goodbye, I'll say goodbye to them. I'll do the obligations that I have to, like, clean up after. I have to, loose ends. I can't just walk away. A lot of loose ends. El chacharecha. The Omar ve'el chacharelyova yeshar seyu. But the point Chavis Alvavis is making is that the Pasuk makes a point that he left the society that he was in. He left his home. He went away. And that's what Prushim do when they want to commune with Hashem. So they do it, they have families, again, you know, and they did it. But someone who finds himself or herself alone, so A, shouldn't feel lonely, as we explained, shouldn't feel worse off than other people, should realize the tova in the situation they're in, not least of which is the ability to be misbodeged with Hashem, the ability to... Right now, if you want to be misbodeh with Hashem, you have to wake up at 3 in the morning. And that's not even true if you have like a less than 1-year-old baby. Sometimes less than 2-year-old baby. Or a 1-year-old grandchild. So, okay, we'll stop here.